Hello, I'm Shalom.
And I'm Courtney, and this is Almost Nerdy. We love sci-fi, we love fantasy, we love all things nerdy.
And we are about to spoil this for you, so make sure you've already watched it. Hey guys, welcome back to Almost Nerdy. It's been a minute.
Yes, but we are back with a new topic. Super excited for it because I've been dying to do something very feminist for a while because that's my jam.
That's your jam. This is basically your politics.
This is politics of recording. I love calling out people for being sexist. I'm like, you're sexist.
That was literally our first conversation. Was Courtney called me sexist, and we discussed superheroes.
Well, so, you were being sexist.
Yes, I was perpetuating sexist practices.
You were. You've grown so much. I'm so proud of you. You know what? When we met. Yeah. I was perpetuating racist things as well.
Yeah.
Not knowingly, but just as a white person.
You grow.
And you grow as people. That's how you learn. So we've each grown a lot.
That is so true. So we are going to be discussing male gaze.
Yes.
I'm, to be honest with you, I'm looking forward to this because I want to actually understand what it is. I feel like I've heard it a lot of times, and I think I've made assumptions of what it is. And I tend to be that kind of personality. I like to mess with words that I don't really understand. But I'm really curious about what it is and where does it come from. And I know you've prepared, you know, some information for us. And then we'll dive into the movie.
Mm-hmm. So I feel like I wanted to kind of start with, like, the roots of, like, what male gaze is. Because, to be honest, I didn't know either. It's, like, kind of, like, something that's just, like, popping up now. Like, it's almost like a trigger word. Like, oh, that's male gaze. That's male gaze. But the fact of the matter is, like, this is actually a feminist film theory by Laura Mulvey.
So it has to do with film.
It actually specifically has to do with film, which is awesome because that's why we're talking about film. Like, right, it's cool because, like, I think now people are trying to apply male gaze to real life. Right. And it's not that it doesn't apply to real life. It does because film shapes the way that we see life. So it does and it doesn't. But it is specifically, very, very specifically made for this. I read a really great article. It's from filminquiry.com. And they talk about Laura Mulvey, who is the woman who came up with this. And she wrote two essays. The first one was Visual Pleasure and the second one was Narrative Cinema. And so a lot of this theory comes from both of those.
Right.
And her main thing is basically male gaze is a theory regarding sexual objectification of women in media. So it is specifically for media. And this was actually from 1975. Like, it's pretty old. Yeah. But one of the quotes from her essay is, "The gender power asymmetry is a controlling force in cinema and constructed for the pleasure of the male viewer, which is deeply rooted in the patriarchal ideas and discourses." So her big thing is that basically, in making everything about very male centric, you are basically always saying that the viewer and the viewer's needs are always male.
Right.
Are always male. And to be specifically white male. It's always white male. So women within this become the bearer of meaning and not the maker of meaning. So their part is never anything deeper than you'll see this as a trope a lot of times, like, the woman is there to, like, to do, like, the pep talk or something like that. So, essentially, in a nutshell, it's basically said that, like, male gaze is basically that women in media are viewed through the eyes of the heterosexual male, And women are usually seen as these passive objects of male desire. And the audience are actually focused to the point of view. Like, the point of view of focus is always as the woman being kind of passive or things like that. Like, you'll see, like, the way that it pans or the way that she's put in the frame of the movie. So that's, like, essentially where it comes from.
When you say pans, you mean they'll focus on, let's say, like, her body.
Yes, her body. Way. Like, it's it's like that, you know, you meet, I'm trying to think of, like, I think any of the James Bond movies, like, if you look at any, to be honest, I despise James Bond movies. I'm probably one of the only people out there to say that they hate them. I just, from the age of a child, have been like, they're clearly objectifying women and I hate this man.
Like, you're right.
And I would pick up on it because I'm like, why are you starting at her boobs and then going up to her face? Like, that's a great example of so it does, it creates this thing where it's like, even if you're like a homosexual man, like, you're still a man, but like, you're being forced to constantly see things through the through male gaze. And I think the other thing that she does point out that is worth, I don't want to lose this, is a story can have many points and you can have many points of view. So you can have times where you do have things from the male perspective, and you can have times that it's coming from the female perspective. And that the issue is when there's asymmetry, when it leans completely male the entire time. And again, I think there are times when it's like, it's okay to have stories like this, but it's the issue is that it's predominantly male. And I think Hollywood is starting to get...
To kind of change it up a little
bit. Yeah, to change it up. So, you know, we're going to be focusing on, we're doing Birds of Prey, we're going to do Captain Marvel, and we're going to do Wonder Woman. All within the superhero genre, which is pretty exciting to see all of these women out there and getting their own movies. And I have to say, it's it was funny, I was thinking about this, and we actually did not see Birds of Prey in theaters.
We didn't.
A, pandemic.
Right.
But also, B, I don't think I would have gone to see this anyway because, again, of that, I was not expecting this movie to actually break male gaze so hard. I was not expecting that at all because Harley Quinn is literally known as the Joker's girl. Like, I was... And I know, like, in the preview they showed that... that she was, like, getting out of that relationship, that they're broken up. She's her own woman now. But I'm like, okay, how many times have we seen a character actually transition from a side character into a main character well? Like, not often.
Yeah,
true. Actually, has Marvel actually ever done that?
Successfully? I mean, since, are you talking in the context of male gaze or in the context
of anything?
I mean, with, we just recently saw Falcon and Winter Soldier.
That's like the only example,
which
though.
Is, yeah, which is a transition of some sort. And to be honest with you, they had to do a whole series.
They had to do to a actually, 6-hour series.
To actually make it, to almost challenge the viewers a bit, you know, because it had a total, because there's the race factor.
Yeah.
And I think that's something that they had, yeah, they had to really be careful how they did it. Like, they were, and I'm sure they're pretty anxious about how the audience was going to receive it. And it was well received.
Yeah.
Well received. Polarizing, of course.
Yes.
You know, but
definitely
if you're a Marvel fan and you're kind of a right wing person, I don't know what you're doing there. I don't know what you're doing listening or watching, like, you know, Marvel stuff and be like, oh my gosh, I'm a right-wing person. And I feel like Marvel gets me. Like, that's just not what Marvel is. Marvel is really about inclusion and diversity. And so, yeah, you're right. Like, transitions are something that's very, very hard to do.
Hard.
And that just shows how incredible the work that Disney is doing. In terms of, like, with one character, though, you know.
Well, Sam Wilson, this is good, though. As far as DC goes,
this is probably
their only character that I would say in the recent DC work, she's the only one where I'm like, yes. Yes, like, you actually did this. You actually made a character who makes sense.
Yes, definitely.
She's like both a villain, but like she's likable at the same time. Like,
yeah,
that's difficult.
Yeah.
But it's interesting. The first time I watched this movie, I was kind of like, it's okay.
Yeah.
It's an okay movie.
Yeah.
I also feel like we were just coming off of Endgame, and I feel like it's like, how do you compete with Endgame? Like, close DC's to Endgame.
Is way behind.
They're behind.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think they're catching up, actually. I was about to be like, they're catching up, and I was like, no.
They have to set their own thing.
They just have to do their own thing.
Yeah.
But actually, the more I have watched this movie, the more I've enjoyed it.
Mm.
I don't think I would argue it's the best script.
Mm.
I don't think I would argue it's like a cinematic like masterpiece. But right, I think as far as feminism goes, it's probably my favorite. And to be honest, I feel like they're actually farther ahead than Disney. Like as far as like
diversity,
as far as just like their like what they're saying for women in general.
Mm-hmm.
Like if you look at this cast, like there's some BA women.
Mm-hmm.
They're and even the statements that they're making are are pretty awesome.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I don't know if it's quite like a straight on comparison, but I have to say this one, like when I think about like what we're going to discuss when we hit like Wonder Woman and like Captain Marvel, like I have to say I feel like this one breaks male gaze the best. Because I also think there's like this temptation to be like, oh, like if you don't want to like in quotes like please a male audience, like then what do the women have to be like dressed conservatively? Do they have to do that? And I'm like, I don't think that's what it's about. I don't think it's about covering your body or being ashamed of your body. Like, I feel like it's kind of like people sometimes look for these like these like black and white answers where it's like. Yeah. It's like, oh, well, women want you to cover up or women want to show their whole body or it's about this. I think it's about what the character loves. Like Harley Quinn is not dressed conservatively like at all for the entire film, but she's dressed like her character would be dressed.
Right.
Like Journey Smollett. Like she's basically wearing like a tiny crop top and like super tight pants. Mm. But there's never a scene where they're just like focused on her butt or like do a weird like pan up of her or anything like that. Like. They're all, like, their costuming, I think, is beautiful. I think the way that they shot the movie is great. They have these fun scenes. Like, I love the fight scene at the end when they're in, like, the like, funhouse thing.
Yeah. Yeah.
They're, like, jumping on the tugs and there's, like, the weird hands. Like, it's just overall, like, a fun movie. Again, I wouldn't argue that it's a masterpiece or anything, but I think as far as, like, breaking that down and making Harley Quinn something that's not just attached to Joker, where she actually is her own personality. And even the conversations they have around that are really great. Like, where she dives into, like, like, what is a Harlequin? Like, what is that? Like, there's someone to, like, entertain someone. And, like, she doesn't want to be that anymore. Like, she doesn't want a master anymore.
That's all good. That's all good. Like, just coming back to, you talked about the modesty, like dressing modestly or not dressing modestly. I heard someone say, and I watch, I'm on TikTok a lot, I'm on social media a lot, and I'm on Black Twitter, and I also get to watch a lot of Black creators. And I made it intentional recently to listen to more Black women. Right, and I've been realizing that the conversation of male gaze is also a huge conversation, or the conversation of sexism is a huge conversation in the Black community too, and one of the things that I heard that kind of reminds me of what you just said was, I heard one of the creators, she was saying, she said, when I wear a short skirt, or when I just dress a way that would be considered by society as suggestive or provocative, I'm not doing it for you. I don't do it with, like, so that for, like, I do it for myself. This is my thing. I'm not doing it to perform for you. Or it does not mean I belong to you. Just because you see me dressed in a way that might even provoke you does not mean that I left my house thinking, oh my gosh, I'm going to meet this strange person, you know, at a club or at a bar or walking around or at the store. And, like, I did not do it for you. And I thought that was interesting, where it's like kind of just that conversation of like modesty and
mm-hmm.
and or rather what society calls modesty
mm-hmm.
and what society calls provocative. I was just thinking about that in movies too, like where it's yeah. like where it's like in the movies it's very clear that that shot that they do like of maybe like if, like Scarlett Johansson
mm-hmm. That's
and
a great example.
That shot is not meant, it's meant for, it's like the male gaze.
Yeah.
It's for the male gaze. But then there's a very, like, it doesn't mean at the same time that, like, at the same time, it doesn't, you know, it doesn't mean that, you know, if a girl dresses up, that she is just serving male gaze. And I think as a guy, I, because of, you know, you've been telling me a lot about the movies and how the movies have kind of played with us.
Mm-hmm.
And as a guy, because we watch the movies and we're like, you see a shot and you know, you're like, oh, that shot is for the guys,
mm-hmm.
right? And we then think in real life, it's the same deal.
Mm.
You know, you're like, mm-hmm. oh, yeah, that girl's dressed for us, is dressed for us as men to like enjoy and talk to and harass and so forth. You know what I mean? So mm-hmm. a lot of men feel like they're entitled because somehow male gaze just taught us, like, you see it, you like it, mm-hmm. it's yours.
It's yours.
And
I mean, that's
so,
what you see in the movies,
right? That's
it's what you see
in the movies.
Every protagonist.
So it's really, you know, it's such an important conversation for us as men to listen more and pay attention.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I really, I mean, that even plays into like to get even to deeper feminist ideas, like that even gets even deeper into like rape culture, like about how it's all about women protecting themselves instead of like parents and schools and society teaching right. boys to not touch,
right?
Boys to right. take rejection. It's like what you said, like it falls into this like
mm-hmm.
this place of like women are meant to be docile and just accept it. Like I will never ever forget. I remember there was this time I was in college. I was in the library. I'm studying. I've got like books all over the place. It's like finals week, right? And this guy comes up to me and he's like, "You would look a lot cuter studying if you would smile." And I was like, "Excuse you?" And he was like, "You look cuter if you're smiling." And I was like, "No, thank you." And, like, he called me a bitch. You know? Like, it when you don't show that, like, docile side, like, what they show in the movies, like, of that, like, oh, that's cute. Like, if you show anything else, like, it often provokes, like, rage in men because they're literally taught to experience women a certain way and to view women a certain way. And that, like, that's what you were saying with, like, clothing. It's like, oh, if a woman is dressed this way, she's dressed this way for me. It's this like very like me focused thing instead of being like I don't know, this is gonna sound so silly, but like Shalom and I, like, we've got some like weight goals now.
Mm-hmm.
So like we've been going to the gym.
Yeah.
And like I've been doing a lot of squats.
Mm-hmm.
And like I was literally, like, super self-conscious the other day. I was like, I feel like my pants are indecent now. Like, I feel like I shouldn't be wearing these leggings in public. But it's like, that's that's, like, years. That's 30 years of learning to, like, protect my body, to protect myself. Mm-hmm. Because I'm a woman who's only 5'1", who does not have that much muscle mass and could not, like, save myself in a fight, essentially, against a man who, like, would see that and be like, that's for me.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
You know, it's like, it's there's so much learned behavior.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
when like, it comes to clothing.
It's so true. Yeah, we just haven't been taught to unlearn it. Like, we just haven't been taught, like, that's, to be honest with you, growing up, that's all we saw, you know, is you saw that shot, you knew, you're like, this girl is gonna be like flirting with some guy, you know, it's gonna be like James Bond. Mm-hmm. Literally, that was basically it, you know. You knew, like, you if a movie ended without like a sex scene or something, we were like, what? Like, wow, like, you know, you felt like you were cheated, you know. And I think that it just explains, or rather, it's such a, like, looking at that helps, especially me looking back, it helps me understand why, like, as a guy, I've had to start to unlearn certain ways of thinking that I had before, like, way back then, like, where you're basically, like, thinking, you know, you see it, you like it, you want it. It's yours. If she rejects you, then, like, what's wrong with you that you're failing to get this girl? You need to prove that you're a man and get this girl. Because James Bond, they'll never say no to James Bond, you know? And then that's where all that stuff, that rejection comes in, and the rage and all of that just comes, all that toxicity piles on. And a lot of it is because, yeah, you know, male gaze in film. And also, you know, there are, I've been hearing a lot about it. Yeah, like in conversations on social media. Well, social media you're watching as well. Yeah. Like, it's, you know, stuff like that. Where they are like, one creator, I think, someone was like, she's a political commentator. And I think someone commented like, you know, wear a sweater or something like that. And she was like, what I wear and what I don't wear is not for you. If you don't like what I'm wearing, you can move on. You know, you can. I wear this because it's comfortable. I like what I'm wearing. You know, or even if she was wearing it because, you know, it makes her feel good about her body, that's her choice. That's her experience. It doesn't mean that she's inviting all of us to judge and to take notes on that. And I thought that was, I was like, huh? Like I've never thought of it that way, and. You know, that we ought to actually be careful about what we have been learning all this time in films. And not just for that, but to judge, even judging, you know, where it's not just like, I think, you know, there's the part where it's like where it's like, oh, I want to be with this girl. But there's the flip side, which is, ah, you know, dress up, dress differently, do this. What were you wearing when that guy attacked you? Like, you know, and we need to unlearn that because, yeah, like, I don't know. It's something that I feel very challenged by what you've been saying and through our conversations this week. It's been really good.
I mean, that's why just like public education is so important.
Yeah.
Like just to keep up. I think the hardest thing for most people is they witness something happen and they don't know what to do. But like the more you prepare people for situations like that, like the better off they are. Like it's the same with like racism. Like, oh, what do I do if I hear someone make a racist comment? Like people feel better like knowing and being prepared for what to say in that situation. Again, which is why like just advocacy is so important. And just like talking about stuff so that, you know, people are ready, like, because people will hold other people accountable. Like, you can say whatever you want, but that doesn't mean that you're going to have freedom of consequence, essentially, for what you're saying. I think I want to move on to a little bit of, like, the characters within the story and how they're kind of, like, breaking male gaze and, like, breaking through that. To start with Harley Quinn, oh my gosh, she is she's breaking everything. Like she's no longer just like, I mean, she let's be honest, she was essentially a sex object to Joker. Like that's essentially who she was, and the second she blew up that plant, like it was just done. And you know what?
Awesome scene as well.
I did like the commentary on how like honestly she was kind of like. She knows there's sexism within the world, right? She knows that there's sexism there, and that as long as she, like, there's protection under, like, a man. I think this is even crazy to me. Like, this is real life also. It's like, so, like, a woman is essentially free, like, free, unless she, like, free to be, like, hit on by a man, right? Unless she's married. And then it's like, until she's in quotes, like, owned by someone, like someone's like property essentially, like that it's like men only respect other men, you know what I mean? And like I feel like that's kind of like what was happening with Harley, like she was only free to do what she wanted because she was under the protection of Joker. And you know, just breaking out of that and like doing her own business and gaining that confidence, like she just gets out of that place. And then you have Renee, who's the cop. And she keeps getting overlooked for promotions, even though she's solving all these cases. And I kind of like that they made her kind of a corny character. Because, like, I don't know, I just thought it was cute. So I like that she quit at the end. I like that she quit and did become a vigilante.
Yeah.
And then Journey Smollett's character, Black Canary, like, she was literally finding her voice to get out of male gaze. You know what I mean? Like, she doesn't actually use her powers until the very end when she's ready to fight Ewan McGregor's character, Roman. So, like, I just think that there is a lot of things there that I really liked.
Wow. That's so good. Yeah, I thought all those characters were pretty awesome in kind of what, like, I definitely, I think the first time I watched it, it flew, like, you know, you were kind of pointing it out, and you were like, oh, do you see this? Do you see that, you know, she's blowing up the planet? I generally, I was like, she is a, you know, tough, you know, Harley Quinn. Like, she is a tough character. She's like a boss.
Yeah.
You know, but as you showed me some of those, like, you know, the aspects of her, like wanting security, lying that she's still with Joker, pretending, you know, so that she keeps that security, it became so apparent to me. I was like, wow, like, is it, you know, and I'm gonna throw this back at you as a question, probably, like, where it's like, I'm realizing that it's just not like the girly girls, right? The whom we call girly girls. It's not just them that are affected by male gaze. You know, sometimes we can assume that that person is okay. It's fine. They're not, like, affected by it. You know, but seeing someone like Harley Quinn, who is already, who can fight, she can take care of herself. You know, as you see in the movie. But it was very interesting to see people who are clearly look BA and already have that outward powerful personality still be under that at the same time. I found that striking, and I don't know where the question is. I don't know, like, I just found that to be, like, I was like, wow, like, you know, like, it's surprising how, you know, even people that you think are,
like, free, they're actually free, not free.
They're actually not free. Yeah. Right. Like, it's like,
because even, like, even within everything, there's still sexism that they're fighting. There's still...
Right, exactly.
There's still, exactly. Like... And this actually kind of flows into the last point that I wanted to make. I thought Ewan McGregor was the strangest casting choice of all time for Roman. And I was just like...
Such a nice guy.
I'm like, Obi-Wan Kenobi? Like, the dude who played Christopher Robin. Like, that's who you chose? Like, this sweetheart. That's who you chose.
I can see some otters.
And, I can see some
otters. If you're on TikTok, you know exactly what. What are we
talking about? You're not, can't talk. But I genuinely feel like the choice was on purpose. I think they chose someone who was a completely mediocre villain who was just white boy rage for no reason, like, who was, like, clearly the epitome of male fragility on purpose.
Right.
Because, to be honest, that dude has just as much power, if not more power, within society as a woman. And I think that they wanted to point out, I think that's part of the commentary, is that it's like, this dude somehow is still viewed as by society as more powerful than Harley Quinn, even though she's clearly smarter than him.
Right.
She's clearly, like, more capable than him. Like, he still has the power, and there's still people willing to support him.
Yeah. Does that mean, would you say then, like, coming out of that, like, because when it comes to even, you know, the race conversation, is that even a white person who is in on the lower side, like, who's, like, a poor white person, right, with very low power, still has white privilege.
Oh, yeah.
Right? Would you say that's the, is a male gaze is part of that whole systemic sexism, right?
That, yeah.
You know, would you say that? Like, that's what gives it that amount of power.
Yeah, I think you're right. I think it's just the patriarchy. Right. Like, it's just, like, the patriarchy and, like, the way that it's just, like, literally embedded that, like, look, we're just hitting now where, like, when you ask little kids to draw a scientist, like, at least 3 out of 10 are now drawing a female. Like, it used to be, like, it didn't matter. Female, black, white, like, male, like, it didn't matter. Like, kids would draw, when they thought of a scientist, they would draw a man. If they, if you ask them to draw, like, a business owner, they would draw a man. Even though there's plenty of women scientists, there's plenty of women, like, there's plenty, but, like, this is why movies matter so much.
Right.
Because kids are soaking this in from an early age. Like, it's, and the bias is even in me. Like, I was sitting there and I was like, if I was to draw a scientist right now, I would draw Dr. Grant, who's a male scientist from Jurassic Park, because it was one of my favorite movies. And it's like, not that I didn't love Ellie. Like, I loved Ellie, but, like, I liked Dr. Grant more because, honestly, he's the center of Jurassic Park.
Right.
You know? So it's like, you, it, the stuff, like, it really does embed in your mind. And it's like, again,
it does.
My professors in college, who were all scientists, most of them were women, and I loved them. But, like, when I think about it, I'm like, if I was to draw, like, when I'm honest with myself, if I was to draw someone, it would be a man. If you ask kids to draw a president, they're probably going to draw a man. Like, everything is really centered around this, like, the ideal person for any role, for the most part, is man, is a man.
Wow.
Patriarchy.
Patriarchy. That's I think that's a very important word. So male gaze is a tool of the patriarchy.
Yes.
Wow. That's
a tool.
Yeah. Yeah. I think that's very important. That's very important. Important. And I think that as we come out of it, I'm very interested to know. You know, if there are movies that be, you know, because I feel like with DC and Marvel, they're trying to break.
Oh, the male, they definitely gaze. Are.
Do you, like, you don't have to answer this now, but I think as we go through this, I'm very curious about movies or even like producers that actually have always kind of been away from them, from male gaze, and always pushed against that barrier. I'm very curious. Like, this is not a question for now.
Within the sci-fi fantasy world, I would say, like, I don't know. I don't know. Maybe more in fantasy. I have to say, there's a lot more female heroines within fantasy.
Yeah. Like Lord of the Rings, kind, Galadriel's.
I was actually going to go with Narnia.
Okay.
Susan.
Yeah, true.
Susan, really, like, especially, what's the set? Not Lion, Witch, and the Wardrobe. I think she's in the set. What's the one with Caspian? Isn't that the one? She's, like, really.
Yeah, she really shows up.
Yeah. So, I do think, I would say within fantasy, I think you see a lot more women where I don't think that they're necessarily objectified or have passive roles. But, I mean, those are often more, like, adventure. Although, I don't know. Within superheroes, though, I just feel like it's mainly just male-dominated.
Yeah. Yeah.
Very male-dominated. Yeah. I feel like just recently I also noticed that the way that they have women choreographed for fight scenes has changed a lot. They're not trying to make them fight like men. They're having them fight the way that makes sense for their body types. I think a great example would be Mandalorian, especially season 2.
Right.
There's a lot of women fighting, and I think that they choreographed them beautifully. Like, absolutely beautifully. Like, they're not, they don't look like they're trying to, like, let's be honest, like, women tend to be smaller. But you can use your body weight to your advantage a lot. And, like, women have very strong legs. Like, their balance, lower body, tends to be a lot better. Yeah. Like, those movements.
Wow.
Yeah. Especially with the Mandalorians. Like, they're like, on point.
Awesome.
Yeah, they definitely choreograph the scenes a lot better.
Yeah.
Awesome. But, yeah, I think that's kind of it.
Oh, that's awesome. That's awesome. I'm excited to hear more if you think of it.
I have other Harley Quinn thoughts that I just love and want to talk about. First of all, I love that she gets a hyena.
Yes,
that's just hyena. Like, so fitting, right?
We believe our dog is part hyena.
Yeah, we think she might be part hyena.
There's a hyena somewhere.
she's some sort of mutt.
The way that hyena tongue just like wags,
yeah,
or just hangs out. I'm like,
there's no way. I also have to say, I just really enjoyed the sets. I loved her apartment. Mm-hmm. I love her relationship. Harley's relationship with Cassandra, I thought was adorable. I love at the end when they're like cruising in the car and they've got like she's got her own little like partner in crime.
Yeah.
Yeah. I overall just a fun movie. You know, just fun. Just fun. I have to say, I needed a second to get over, like, Harley's got that very exaggerated accent. I think Margot Robbie acted her butt off as this character. Like, she really brought her to life.
Yeah.
Like, she looks like a cartoon. Like, she literally looks like a cartoon. She does. And her fight choreography is very good.
Very well put together.
Mm-hmm. I actually really love the scene when she's breaking Cassandra out and she gets all the, I think it's cocaine. And she just goes nuts like that. That was really good.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah,
overall. I was sad about the sandwich.
Oh, the sandwich. That's a Shalom moment.
That's my pet peeve. My pet peeve in television is when food does not get eaten or falls or and I hate it so much.
Heartbreaking.
Like sitcom or movie breakfast are one of the most frustrating because they just have one bite, then they have to run to school. You know,
that's so true. You hate that.
The whole thing. I hate it so much.
Sandwich. I love the sandwich scene.
Yeah, that was that's so
great.
Good.
And I think the storytelling was great. Like, I actually really enjoy the part where she's like, you know what? This is my story, and I'm gonna start where I want to start. Like, from the get go, we are getting Harley's perspective. It's not necessarily linear. It's kind of in circles, but like, who doesn't have that friend who kind of like, as they're trying to tell the story, it kind of meanders over here, has like five side stories over here, and then we're over here.
You're kind of married to that kind of person.
I am married. I wasn't going to name names. So I do like that.
It's the journey of the story. It's not about the story itself. It's about.
I really have to say, like, I've been enjoying these, like, this type of storytelling. Even I'm probably going to talk about this in Captain Marvel, but her origin story is a very different type of origin story where she doesn't know who she is and it's coming back. Like, I really enjoyed that. Like, it's so much different than this linear storytelling that we're used to. It's I feel like it's so much more interesting and creative.
For some reason, people find it frustrating. Like,
I really don't find that frustrating.
Yeah, I
maybe
don't.
Maybe it's because we watch so much.
I've not seen any movie that does that where there's like a consensus where everyone's like we loved it. There's always a hardcore group that like is always like what the heck was that, we hated it.
Yeah,
we recently just watched the not Invincibles, we just watched
Jupiter's Legacy,
and it has that same kind of like
dueling storylines,
and we liked it. Like we actually liked it, but that a lot of people hated that. A lot of people just hated, or some people like I liked the flashbacks. I think like it's kind of weird, but
well, the main character was kind of a jerk, Utopian.
Yeah, Utopian was kind of a jerk for a reason. Like
he wasn't very likable.
Yeah,
so I can see them liking his flashbacks more.
Yeah, right. Not true. True. So it's kind of like it's a hard thing to do. It's a hard thing to tell a story like that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I think those are all my thoughts on the movies. Did you have anything else?
I think I'm good. I think I'm good. Awesome. So we are gonna round this episode up.
So I hope you enjoyed this episode. I really like diving into this, especially film theory. I've just always been interested in film my entire life. So it's cool that this is not just a film theory, but something that's also practical in real life and like has real life like applications.
Yeah.
Which I love talking about. So next week we are going to do Captain Marvel.
Captain Marvel.
Who's my hero. So
awesome.
I'm so excited. This is like this is my series. I'm like in my happy place right now. I'm so excited.
I love it. It's so good. Awesome. Thank you so much for joining us on this nerdy journey.
We'll see you next week.